Okay.
It was in hindsight, it's a good name to write, but not a very good name to say.
And Doug spelled it wrong in the email anyway, so I've been calling it. It's been Catharsis.
That's the way it should be.
Listening to the Music Manumit podcast for April 5th, 2015. Learn more at musicmanumit.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and Doug is not here today. Today we have with us, we have Lindsay from Catharsis, right?
G'day, how's it going?
Good. We were just talking about how the emphasis of it goes. And then, as usual, when I ask people, how do you say that again? The second I start doing the intro, I forget exactly what they told me. So hopefully I said it right.
That's okay. You did a much better job than others we've had. So it's, yeah, quick learner.
where did the name come from? First of all, since we're already on it, instead of coming back later, what's the deal with the name?
Well, it was actually our guitarist / vocalist, Gary, who was trying to spell the term cathartic, like, you know, when it's everything kind of just falls into place and it's a real like soul cleansing experience. And he put some letters in the wrong place and then it turned out to be Catharsis, which he liked and we liked. And it means we get our own website and we get our own. Yeah, we don't need to have stupid emails or anything. So it's very convenient.
That's true. I'd never thought of that, misspelling an actual word that people may look for. And also for the word that you're talking about, I always think of it as when people say things are cathartic. The imagery, or someone explained it to me in relieving yourself. So basically,
that sort of it's cracking a beer at the end of a long day, something like that, you know.
No, I'm talking poop. People.
Okay, right, all right. Wait, that's also satisfying. We'll go with that.
It can be, but that's always. I mean, I understand what the concept of it is, but when it was first explained to me, I don't know who it. I want to say it was one of my parents, and it's one of the many things they did just to kind of mess with my head growing up, and they explained it like pooping. And
now that the mental image for our band that you've got is someone having a poop, that puts us on good terms for the rest of the tour. Good.
Yes. So it explains your band to a T. No, not at all. Oh man. So why don't you tell the people listening who may have never heard of you before, what is your band like? Just to make sure that they don't think that it is all about pooping, because it's not at all.
we've pushed that to the background lately. So Catharsis, we are an Australian 4-piece heavy band. I don't like to get hung up on genres, I suppose. We try to make post-metal songs that are short, basically, that have, you know, all that sort of texture and interesting structure and cool vibes, but aren't 12 minutes long. So we take inspiration from guys like Isis, the most unfortunately named band in the world at the moment, Deftones, a band from the UK called Ocean Size. Those are mostly the sort of atmosphere and vibe that we try to make. So we've been around for 5 years, 6 years now.
Okay.
And we work very slowly, but we're having some fun with it.
I like the description where you were like short songs, which means that they're like average songs, short metal songs, which means
short
that
metal songs.
Yeah. They're average length. I don't want to say regular songs. That makes it sound like you guys don't play
No, they're average length regular songs. They are. I listen to a lot of, you know, Dream Theater and Porcupine Tree stuff when I was younger.
Nice.
And it just got to the stage where I didn't really have time to listen to a 26-minute song.
Okay.
And you look at it and you're like, how much time are you spending just sort of, you know, jamming out on the same idea rather than moving the song forward? So,
well, and speaking of that, like with Dream Theater and stuff, I used to, in my younger days, play with guys who were like really into that stuff. And sometimes to me, when I would listen to it, while I don't deny that they were very talented, it would be like, well, why don't they just make this another song? Like when they would switch parts, it would be like just
a movement.
Yes. And I get that. But at times it would be like, but how does this, what made them go, all right, now we're going to play this thing, which is completely different. And then, of course, they'll find a way to bridge it back to what the other part is. But
at the end of the day, it all seems a little bit self-serving to me anyway. if you can, you're absolutely right. If you've got a song that's five 4-minute songs slapped together, then make it five songs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I say. And then you're filling up your album. I mean, with different things, and you can kind of splice them off. And also I think we just answered the question I was going to ask next, which is the concept of naming genres post something. I think we just described what post metal would be, didn't we?
Well, it's what's it meant to be? It's meant to be using the instruments and tones of a particular genre in a different way.
Okay.
But I mean, so that's what I think of when I hear, you know, post rock, for instance. But I'm not going to argue with it because that's the way it's gone. But you know, for a lot of people, post rock is, you know, explosions in the sky, twinkly guitars, and delays, and that sort of thing. And that's kind of what it is. But I think there's so much more you can do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes music has gone beyond what do you sound like and describing yourself with bands to describing yourself with genres, and then sometimes making up genres. Like Doug, if he were here, there are so many blank dash core genres these days.
Oh, is it post-avant jazz core? He's better than progressive dream funk, right?
Well done. Oh my God. You could totally hold your own with him on this.
Absolutely stole that, but yeah.
Like, I buy it. I don't know. He'll just start rattling off stuff like that, and he'll know the differences between them all. So when it comes to explaining genres, like when I try to put stuff down, I usually just go rock. You know, I don't know. It's not, but whatever. You know,
I like the way that a lot of dance music guys have gone with the whole dubstep thing. Now they just call everything bass music.
Oh, I really didn't like know that.
So you know, instead of being is it bro funk or you know dubstep or whatever, it's just bass music. And yeah, I like that.
Well, and sometimes
heavy music.
Do you think it's a way to kind of separate yourself from it when it becomes oversaturated? Because I mean, we all know that dubstep has been it's gone the way of 80s rap, where it's in commercials now to the point where it's like people who are really hardcore fans are kind of like, oh, I'm embarrassed that that's in this commercial. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that one's, I don't know what it's like in the States, but over here it's definitely gone the way of the dinosaurs to an extent.
Well, in the example I'm giving is like the first time or the example of like the grandma rapping in a commercial, you know, that it's that, okay, we got to make a change to this genre.
Absolutely. It's time, abandon ship, move on.
Yeah. Move on to the next movement. Ooh, wow. Look at that. We tied it in with the next movement, but that would be a different stage, wouldn't it? We're doing a new thing. We're not just extending. We're sitting here single-handedly saving the music genres.
Yeah.
Well, you may be. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about the background of post-metal. You may have created the whole thing. I may have just described your history. It's up to you.
I think it was an ISIS, I think, get the credit for it.
Do you think so?
Or was it ISIS or and other name who's... this is going to kill me. Anyway, the dudes who are around the same sort of era, not Carcass, but guys like that. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, that sort of, you know, long song, Melvin's sort of vibe even.
Yeah. So are you on safari right now? What's going on behind you?
Can you hear that? Okay, I'm actually, this is my backyard.
Wow. There's all kinds of, when I first dialed you up, was like you were, I thought you had just like a sea of birds behind you. There was some sort of thing going on right around your head. It's very faint in the background and it's very peaceful and I can, it seems serene, but before it seemed like you were in the middle of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. So
I hope I'm not, ruining the podcast.
No, it's, not at all.
This is me sitting in my backyard. This is in the middle of the suburbs of Perth. So it's very nice. It's a nice place to be.
Nice. No, I'm hearing different birds than I'm normally used to hearing in my backyard. So,
oh God, we have these, sorry, unrelated bird discussion, but it's right. Interesting. There are these birds called kookaburras that we have here, and the kookaburras, they sound like they're laughing at you, and they usually start at about 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh.
So it's just these asshole birds laughing at you, waking you up every morning. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one animal I'd shoot here. But we don't have guns, so we can't do it. So, you know,
right?
No hope. No hope.
You can throw stuff at them.
Yeah, my arm's not that good, but yeah, give it a crack.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, if you feel the need, go right ahead. I wouldn't, I wouldn't slight you for it. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure. I've completely run this off the rails, haven't I?
So, no. It's my own fault, too. I can steer it back when I need to.
Okay.
Don't question my methods.
You're the captain of this ship.
Not at all. But okay, all right, fine. You want to talk music, Mr. Man? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, we're talking music.
tell us about the recent album.
Is it recent these days?
I know it's 2014. I don't, because I'm leading up to my next question here. So let's talk.
Okay. Sorry, I'll stop questioning.
I told you, I'm driving the ship.
I'm the captain now. It's the Gyre. We released it about a year ago to the day, actually. We had our first anniversary a little while ago. It's pretty dark. It goes across a fair range of territory, but it's all fairly heavy in tone and in execution, I think. We tracked it over here. I actually did my parts and then ran away to Canada. So we were doing the whole thing basically by correspondence for a lot of the time. We got it mixed by Aaron Harris of Isis over in LA. So it was at the stage where, half the band was in Perth, Aaron was in LA, and I was in Ottawa sending mixes back and forth to each other and trying to explain what we wanted by email and by Skype, which was a unique experience. He came in and really went above and beyond the call of duty on that one and really brought the songs to life. But yeah, I think what we were aiming for with the album is to tie it together, to make it not one piece of music, because that's wanky, but like we wanted to have a real thematic sort of progression going through it. And I think we got there. People seem to like it. So I'm quite proud of it.
Well, so why did you end up doing it remotely? What's in Canada? What did you go there for?
University was in Canada. And it was just a matter of this was something we wanted to do, and the timing worked out that way. So it was all a bit of a logistical nightmare, to be honest. I was actually, because I'd listened to something that I'd recorded a month ago on the other side of the world and been like, shit, I really could have done that better. And then you just kind of have to find ways around it. I almost hired a studio in Ottawa to fix a few things up, but in the end realized that was a stupid idea.
So were you like doing, fixing tracks and stuff like that and sending them back and forth? Or were you just really going through the, here's a mix, here's this, what do you think of that sort of process? I'm always interested in remote recording. I always think it's fascinating because I meet musicians all over the place, and I'd love to just make albums with people I will never be in the same room with. I think it's a fascinating concept.
Yeah, well, the way that you can do it now is pretty amazing. You know, sending, like, we do more writing now by sending each other like emails with song ideas in it. Like we jam together all the time, but it's just, if you can sit in a room and record into Pro Tools or Ableton or something, it's so much a much more flexible way of doing it, rather than relying on everybody having the same creative energy at the same time in the room to write with. But I mean, in terms of what I was doing, my parts were done. Yeah. I was set, so I was kind of just giving, it was feedback, at minute 2:30, maybe put more guitars there, sort of thing. But I'm not very good at talking about music, so a lot of it was give it more balls. It requires more balls there,
right?
Which is not particularly useful for the other guys, but hey.
Or you could start getting all pretentious and saying things like, "Could you make it sound a little more yellow?"
Yes, it needs more yellow.
It's not crinkly enough. These are all actual terms I've heard in a studio.
it needs more. What does yellow sound like?
I don't know. That's the point. Or crinkly. Yeah. What does crinkly mean? Do you mean distortion? No. And then they explain it, and it's something where it's like, all right, that's not crinkly at all, what you just explained. But the second part where you kind of told me what you meant, that was far more useful.
But I'll often fall back on like saying what it should, like what it sounds like other songs.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at that either. So it'll be, like talking about, what I really want here is like a guitar lead like that Justin Timberlake song. And they'll listen to it and be like, what the fuck, Justin Timberlake song? I'm like, look, listen to it for that 3 seconds right there. That's what I want.
See, now that I can relate to. That I get.
Yeah.
That part makes sense. Like, I was... Oh, no. I get... Never mind. I had a random thought last night, and it involved the fact that on Shuffle, randomly, Motley Crue's Shout at the Devil album came up, and there was, like, one thing that happened in it where I was just like, oh, my God, that actually would be interesting to try. And it was just, like, a couple-second part. And then the other rest of it was me realizing that I have solely misremembered that album from my childhood because I thought it was the greatest album ever, and it does not hold up anymore.
Doesn't stand up?
No. It's really, it's like they recorded two songs and then filled it up with a bunch of crap to make the rest of the album.
That was the glory days of CDs, right? You buy it for the single?
No, I had the cassette. So listening to it, as I was listening back to it, now it being on, I was streaming it on like Google Play or something like that. And so I was listening to it and I was like, oh, it keeps going. But this would be the part where I would flip the tape over and listen to the next side. Like, I remembered that much of it. So I knew what side two was as I was listening to it. But yeah, the rest of that album is just silly. Very strange. Like, yeah, it's stuff.
The dark side.
Yeah, it's just weird. And they were doing things like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this a segue. They were doing things like Vince Neil would be singing. That was the album where they sang about, like, they would do things like singing about being in the streets and like knife fights and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, go put some more hairspray in your hair, pretty
relevant,
boy.
Yeah.
Like, what streets are you knife fighting in, for God's sake? But anyway, so how I was going to make this segue was, why don't you tell us what the meaning of what kind of stuff you guys try to exude with your music?
What sort of stuff have we tried to exude in our music?
Well, I mean, we've kind of talked about the recording process. I mean, when you guys write, like, what kind of stuff, I mean, what do you think about when you kind of try to create your stuff? Like, what inspires you?
Well, it's for me, it comes back to the whole idea of, you know, tying things together and having it just that moment of, you know, when you hear a song for the first time and it just kind of all falls into place, you know, you have you have a little guitar lead at the start or something, and then that becomes the chord progression at the end, sort of thing. Like the first time you listen to Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and then you realize that there's the same melody in the chorus chord progression here, in the guitar solo here, in the lead riff here. You know, it's the same thing coming all the way through. And just that sort of cohesiveness is really my bag. Or, you know, trying things in different feels. Like one of the songs on the album, we repeat, you know, there's the same chord progression, same chorus, but it's in a different time signature every time. And, you know, just trying to make it repeating ideas, but tying it together and having it, you know, a nice compact piece of music, and you know, everything's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think what we try to do, which is, you know, going back to the whole Dream Theater thing, that's the exact antithesis of what they used to do.
Yeah.
So I like cohesive music, or, you know, even inspiration from guys like there's an electronic guy called Burial, who you may have heard of, who is basically, you know, incredibly minimalist with what he does, but everything that's there is there for a reason and it works. So that's the sort of ethos we like to have going through, is that, yeah, there's stuff is there for a reason.
And do you guys all write, or is it one main person that brings it, or is it usually the group effort you were talking about before?
It depends, and it's been different with each of our releases, and it's going to be different with this one that we've just started writing now as a scoop.
I was actually leading up to that next, so
there you go.
Well done.
For the last album, my brother Gary, who's the guitarist / vocalist, did I'd say 70-80% of the lifting on the writing front.
Slacker.
Well,
he couldn't do 100%. What, you got to sit around and do the rest of it?
He can't play drums, so that's the one role that I still play. So I get to hit things in the background. He had a lot to do with that one, and then we kind of all come together and put it together and make it a you know, I'd, as I say, structure is my big thing. So I'd come in and rearrange things, that side of business. But with the new one that we're doing now, we've got two guys in the band who weren't there during the last album. And they're basically freak musicians who are coming through with all these really fantastic ideas. We're trying to get them involved as much as possible in the early stages, and we're jamming a lot and doing some cool ideas and things that I can't play at the moment, but we'll get there.
And with the two new guys, why'd you get two new guys? Did you replace people or did you add new people?
Our guitarist Willem, who was with us from the start, he again ran away to Canada. Seems to be a bit of a theme.
So he
ran off to Vancouver to start his new thing, and he's having a fantastic time there. And we actually did the album without a bassist. Our previous bassist had left at the time, so we used some trickery on that one, and we had our current bassist Jack, we got in after the album was finished, so he's not new to the band, but he's new to the writing process for that. So basically half the band is new, and it's very exciting.
Nice. So how long has that lineup been together?
We've been together for 9 months now, something like that, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah.
And then go ahead.
Don't know, you go.
I was just going to ask, so when did the inspiration for deciding to put out the new album finally hit? You know, with you guys all jet-setting all over the world and stuff, finally you were like, well, maybe we should write some more music.
Yeah, well, it kind of got to the stage where, you look at why you're doing these things, and we kind of just realized that writing music is good. You know, it's not a we'd been, you know, had working with the same songs for so long, and like I've been getting, you know, involved in the commercial side of it and the legal side and all of that, and we'd been pushing this and really, you know, seeing what we could do with the live touring and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while it's just like, well, you know, let's just write some more stuff and let's see what happens, which is a financially terrible decision, but still
being a musician is a financially terrible decision.
It is. It's not a clever one, but hey.
Yeah.
I'm just keen to do some new stuff, basically.
Oh. And then you guys are also going to be playing out and, you know, playing live and stuff, or are you mainly okay?
No, absolutely. We just had a tour over to Melbourne, which, you know, was fantastic. And that was about a month ago we did that, where we played a couple of weeks ago with a band called Chaos Divine, who are probably Australia's best homegrown metal band, like pure metal band at the moment. So they're absolute legends. That was fantastic. We're playing next month at basically a, actually this month, it's a new month, at basically a who's who of the Perth metal scene. So that'll be fantastic. We play around a bit.
Yeah.
It's hard for us in Perth, because for us to tour to any other city that's, you know, I've got a million people in it, we're looking at 4.5-5 hours on a plane.
Oh, really? I guess I don't know how far apart, like, you know, a lot of the places you're talking about are.
They're between, we've got a desert in our state. That's all we've got.
I've heard.
It's a big bloody desert. So it's a real problem that Perth bands have, is that there's this fantastic music scene here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people play around with it, you know, with other fantastic bands, and the quality is really, really high, but it's hard to get out of that. And I think that kind of shows. I mean, you look at the, like, Tame Impala, they're from Perth, Pendulum, they were from Perth. Like, there's Carnival, who are similar sort of stuff to us. There's just all these fantastic bands that come out of Perth, I think, because it's so hard for us to tour. So we just end up honing our music as much as possible.
Yeah. And then, and with this group of people that, I mean, obviously you've got a good collection of creative people there. Now looking at your, you know, your video and your photos and stuff like that, you've obviously got some good imagery going on in visuals that you're able to create for the stuff that you use. Do you guys do that yourself, or do you have people you know that have put all this stuff together for you? I mean, where are you getting your artistic other mediums from?
We are lucky enough to work with some really fantastic photographers and videographers and that sort of thing. And we've had a couple of people approach us, which is fantastic. We did the video for Roche with a guy from the UK Gary met while traveling, and you know, he just kind of volunteered on the spot to make us a video when he got home. So that was another effort by correspondence, you know, sending hard drives around the world. And then for the album artwork, there was a guy called Mike Dan who is actually from Adelaide, so he's from a different city again. Seems to be happening a lot. And he did a fantastic job with the imagery. So I like, you know, visual art. And I think we appreciate it enough as a band that we don't want to do a half-assed job with it and, you know, try to do it ourselves with our little point-and-click cameras. We know when to leave it to the professionals.
So you're saying these people just walk up to you and go, hey, you look like someone that needs a videographer or a photographer to do some visuals for you.
Yeah, or the other way around. We, you know, fans of their work, and we approach them.
So it's more networking than kind of just, even though you're like, I'm in the middle of the desert, but I have all these random people that come up to me artistically.
It's a community. It's a community.
Right. No, and that's good.
I'm not getting stopped in the street.
Well, not yet. You will be. Especially after this show. Come on.
Well, it's the beginning.
No, and that's really cool. I mean, I think it's great when there's always there's some bands that we've had on here where they're just so connected with a bunch of other bands, and kind of miss that. I mean, there's so many ways to just create the music that there's not necessarily a sense of community around it anymore. Not that people have to be, but in the younger days, everybody would be playing each other's shows and, you know, doing things for each other in this sort of way. And I think that's kind of cool that you were able to hook that sort of thing up.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, there's still community to an extent, but we also have these amazing relationships with people that we've never met on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, other musicians and fans and just supporters and, you know, folks like yourself, like who will never meet and may never meet. But it's just the internet being the way that it is, it's opened things up so much.
And then, and I always have to do this, I always have to bring up the fact that we're mainly, we focus on Creative Commons. So get into Creative Commons? I know that you and Doug had emailed back and forth. Again, this is me just trying to take the reins for what Doug usually talks about. You had emailed back and forth because not all of your stuff is under Creative Commons, or at least it's not displayed that way everywhere.
That's actually a good way to put it. So our first EP, Apertures, was Creative Commons. That was I've got it written here, a non-commercial attribution share alike.
You came prepared. I love it.
Yeah, I had to actually double check that one. So the whole idea was, you know, that we wanted to get our music as exposed as possible, and we wanted people to be free to use it in whatever means they wanted, and they kind of didn't. Like, there was...
No, get out of here, really?
There wasn't really as much. Well, I had these grand visions of people using it for their short films and that sort of thing, and it kind of didn't work out that way as much as I would have hoped. And we also found that, you know, we'd give people an inch with a lot of these things, like, you know, oh, it's a Creative Commons license, yada yada yada, but it's non-commercial, and then people would put it up on websites and start charging for downloads.
Like, really?
Yeah, that happened a few times, and it was all, to be honest, if I was going to do it again, I'd let people use it for commercial purposes. Because, like, for instance, there's this guy called Al Meva, who's a French producer who used to be in an amazing underrated band called Radius System, and he one of his songs he put on like a Creative Commons commercial, you know, use it wherever you want CD, and it ended up being used as like the the theme music for a TV show over here in Australia. So I was sending this guy messages like, hey, you realize your music's being used over here. Like, you know, here's a link to this national show.
Okay.
And he was like, holy crap, I had no idea. So that sort of usage is what I think being commercial would open up. But anyway, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
it happens to me all the time. Don't worry about it.
but where we got to, I mean, the new album is released. That's all rights reserved. But if someone came up to us and asked for anything at all, we would, you know, absolutely let them do it.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, that's something which we are absolutely a fan of, you know, the creative marketplace and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, seeing the cool sort of, you know, things that can be done with it.
Yeah.
But it sort of seemed like we were giving away a lot without getting much in return for the other Creative Commons licensing, which is a shame because I love the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love what can be done, and I think it works really well for maybe music that's not ours, maybe like dance music, that sort of thing, like stuff that really begs for a remix that can be done well in someone's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's begging for that.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I'm not arguing with you. I think everybody, I think everybody has the right to, first of all, everybody has the right to think of their experiences with things the way they experienced it. I'm looking at the release date of the album we're talking about was in 2011, which in internet years was like 10 years ago.
We had a MySpace page.
Exactly. And I'm wondering if a lot of that had to do with it, because I'm sure you're not actively promoting that old album anymore. I say it for some reason when I said that old album made it sound like, you know, that old album that you guys released so long ago.
4 years ago.
My God, right? Yeah. And I'm just wondering if it's just now unawareness, because I know back then it wasn't necessarily well known. It wasn't a common thing to use it for such things as video. And I don't think like things, and Doug, again, if you're listening to this show, please correct me if I'm wrong. Things like the Twitch network and, you know, like video gaming stuff, that's actually really the place where a lot of this is definitely used. And I think, and I personally think that the music you guys create is perfect for that sort of stuff. And I think it would be fairly popular in that sort of realm.
Again, if someone, you know, got in touch with us and
right.
we're like, yeah, can we use it? We'd be like, absolutely. Like, do you want a WAV? Like, we'll send you the lot.
Yeah. And the other thing I did too was just, and you're right. I thought I was going to be able to prove you wrong. I did a reverse or an upload date search of your band name on YouTube. And 90% of it is you guys uploading it or your channel.
Or other people just uploading the songs in, you know, whatever quality on their own channel, just with a picture as the background. Like, right. That's not really what we had in mind here.
Well, I find it interesting when people do that. I mean, I don't mind it when people do that with our stuff, and I see it. But at the same time, too, I'm like, originally they had done it because our stuff wasn't on YouTube. And I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, duh. Why isn't our stuff on YouTube, like to stream and stuff? So I uploaded it all there. And then people still kept doing it. And I'm like, are they not finding our stuff? So it was more confusion on my part. Like, I kind of get it in the sense that I know some people who like YouTube is like their version of Spotify.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, so I don't, you know, not understand people doing that. But at the same time, too, it's just like, yeah, like you were saying, upload a better version. It's one of those things where like as an artist, you're just like, that sounds awful.
Yeah. You want to take it as a compliment, because I mean, the effort of uploading a video, I don't know, especially on Australian internet speeds, I don't know how you guys go, but uploading a whole video to YouTube takes a long time.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, these people surely have other things that they want to do with their day. And the fact that they took time out to, you know, to do that is it's pretty humbling. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
But it's just like, well, you know, we've already got the videos uploaded on our channel. It's not like we're getting rich off views.
Right. Well, and so, I was hoping I was going to see something where the music was in the background of like some sort of, like gaming video or like, you know, car racing or something like that. I was hoping. Huh.
I'd love to see one of our videos, some of our music behind like a Quake 3 video or something like that. But alas.
Are you guys, and I'm asking this also in the sense of maybe helping you out with that, are you guys on the Free Music Archive? Of course, it would have to be the first album because it would have to be under Creative Commons. But
we'd look into it. I've not heard of it, no.
Okay. It's a place where it's kind of a curated music site run by WFMU, the radio station. This podcast is a curator of it, and we're always looking for stuff to add to it that may not be there. So if you guys aren't on it, and I'm looking right now and I don't think you are, maybe we'll add it, because this is actually a place where I would say most of the contacts that I get are from this page, people looking for it. This page is pretty well known, and I think it's because the radio station talks about it quite a bit. And about
there
what they
go.
Do
I'll,
there.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. So, and if, I mean, we're curators, so you wouldn't be able to add it yourself. It's not an upload your stuff thing. You have to contact people to go, hey, I do this stuff. What do you think? Do you want to upload it? So what I'm saying is I'm going to help you out. So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll add you to that. Because I've listened to your stuff for the interview and I like it. So, wouldn't put garbage up there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And not the band garbage either, because they're not Creative Commons.
No, they're the last band to ever go like that. When Butch Vig's in your band, he's probably not keen for that.
Right. Although he may remix it.
He would, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, no, that sounds fantastic. And look, we've, as I say, the Jar is a year old at this point.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, the problem we have, which you might actually be able to help me with, we have a cover on that album, which we went and licensed properly, and it's a cover of a Sneaker Pimp song called Six Underground, which was a minor trip hop pop hit in like 1996.
In the 1900s, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, which we absolutely, I think it was one of the first, like, I think it had a website, like that song had a website.
Okay.
Which is a very bit of a throwback and probably a GeoCities site. Anyway, so that's all
nice. A GeoCities site, well done. Oh man,
yeah, getting vintage. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if we can actually make that Creative Commons based on our licensing. I don't know. I am meant to be a lawyer, but I don't know about these things.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to say you can't.
I didn't think so.
Yeah,
we got the rights to put it on all the things because we wanted to do it the proper way. But anyway,
yeah, I mean,
we might just leave that one off.
Yeah, that'd probably be your best bet. I would say to be safe, that would be the way to go. But I know what we've done in the past is, and this was with a band we actually could just ask personally. Recorded a song or did a different version of another band's song, and they were not a Creative Commons band. But what we did is we put it under the most restrictive Creative Commons license just so we could offer it to people. But we weren't doing it. We weren't selling it. And it was just under, you know, just so we could have people share it and download it. That was all it was. So we weren't making anything off of it. So that's what I did, which, you know, I just said, hey, I'm going to do that. And they're like, yeah, all right.
That might be yeah. We had to deal with bloody two record companies to get ours licensed. So
right. That's where you're probably going to run into a problem. Because they're going to be like, you want to do what now?
Yeah, yeah. It turns out the original song was actually a cover of a different song, so that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
No, sorry, it's sampled. It sampled a thing from a James Bond soundtrack, which to get the cover of that, we needed to contact both record companies. It was very difficult. Anyway.
Well, okay, you just sparked, actually, this may be an interesting conversation. You just sparked a thing that happened recently that I heard about. So the whole, are you aware of the whole Blurred Lines, Feral
thing? Yeah, what a bullshit decision, huh?
Well, and the thing, too, is it's like, okay, here's what I want to know. There, while this is going on and people are talking about, first of all, it's been like a year, like to the point where I forgot it happened. It was happening. You know, they finally make the decision. The second thing being, while I'm hearing about the decision for this, there are songs existing right now that are ripping off other stuff, that are using sampling for things, that are doing all this stuff that currently are out there. Couldn't they just have paid for the rights to it? I mean, I don't get why the hell this happened when other music rips off shit all the time. I mean, a guy won a Grammy for basically stealing Don't Back Down, the Sam Waters guy, or not Sam Waters. what the hell's his name? The guy that, do you know what I'm talking about? The guy that,
what's the song name?
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm blanking on the whole thing. His song won a Grammy and it's like a slower version of, Won't Back Down by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And they actually did just win the rights for it stealing that,
I'm not sure.
Sam Winters.
That rings a bell. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a guy. He has like a pompadour, wears a suit, and it's like a ballad type song that's supposed to be like a feel good thing.
Yeah,
okay. Or sad or something.
No, we don't do feel good music.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Feel bad music.
I lost the whole thing without knowing what the name of anything I'm talking about. You know that thing with the stuff and the guy
with the guy and the
yeah. Yep. I mean, that's basically what I'm doing to you right now.
Anyway, no. Well, I think as far as getting the rights for things goes, do you guys it's called a compulsory licensing scheme. This get exciting. This is what happens when you get a lawyer on your show.
Okay.
So it basically, in Australia, if we pay a certain amount of money, I think it's like $300 or something like that,
all right,
you don't have a choice and you have to license your music out.
What?
Yeah, it's how it works. So it's up to there's a profit share in there as well.
Uh-huh.
But basically we have even if Sony Music absolutely hated what we were doing with the cover, which, they probably didn't care. Uh-huh. But either way, if we pay the money, then they have to license it to us. And that seems like such a reasonable way to do things.
Huh.
Like, because you hear about these albums being held up all the time because they can't clear the samples,
right?
And it's like, well, you're only just going to make the song more popular by sampling it, surely.
Exactly. I mean, that's the way I view it.
You can't destroy it too much. And then when things don't get sampled, like what is it, the Lupe Fiasco song,
uh-huh,
where he just rips off Modest Mouse, Float On.
Oh yeah,
and it's the same song, but he didn't get that license, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
And it's like, well, that's more of a ripoff to me than just straight up sampling the thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I come from, in the sense that it's like, even if it's a throwback or if it's a nod or an acknowledgement of the song that you're doing. I mean, at Lenny Kravitz's career hinged on that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Are You Gonna Go My Way is essentially the 3 seconds of a guitar line in a Jimi Hendrix song. You know, I forget which song it is, but it's like that whole song. That's an entire song. Shit, Snoop Doggy Dogg, for Christ's sake. His whole album was just a P-Funk album with rap over it. And everybody loved that. It took stuff to a different level. It did different things with that music, it was mashups almost, you know?
Well, yeah. And you look at what, the whole idea that the musician needs to also be the creator of the music is a pretty recent idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one ever looked at all these jazz dudes playing, jazz standards and be like, oh yeah, but you don't write your own music. That was never the way it used to be. It was, you put your own spin on things and you're the musician, you're not the writer. Whereas now everyone has to be both.
And the other thing too is that also try and go head to head with any of those musicians, talent wise.
Absolutely.
They have to be able to alter and change their styles in a moment. I mean, same with studio musicians or backup singers. The amount of
freaks
crap they have to go through, and they're expected, because they're being paid to do that exact same thing. They can't sit around and go, I'm not feeling it, or whatever. Or, what if we did it this way? No, you're there to do it. And if you don't do it, they'll have someone else do it.
Yep. I think the studio drummers, like guys like Josh Freese, are absolutely my heroes. You listen to how diverse they are. It's amazing what they can do.
Ooh, speaking of that, have you seen the movie Whiplash yet?
I have seen the movie Whiplash.
I just saw it the other day. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it brought back a few too many jazz band memories for me.
Really?
Nothing as bad as that, but you know, yeah. Someone did throw a cymbal at me once.
Okay.
you know, high stress situations, but fantastic film.
Yeah, it was good. I did like how even towards the end, it was just like, oh, you son of a bitch. You know, yeah. That was pretty funny. Not funny. It was horrible. What am I talking about? It was an awful thing.
They did the drumming really well as well. Like, it was pretty legit, I think.
They did, but that whole last scene, you could clearly see the cuts. I mean, up until that point, it was like, I didn't know if the dude was actually playing the drums or not, but when they did that final scene where he kind of went off and did his own stuff, it was like, okay, yep. You could tell that, okay, that's a different guy now. There's the real guy. You know.
Yeah, apparently the guy who's like the first drummer in that band, the guy who he kicks out, is actually a kick-ass drummer. Oh. Like, he's actually a professional.
Okay.
So I don't know why he wasn't the star. He would have been fantastic.
Yeah, anyway. Well, unless he wasn't actually an actor and they just had him sit in there because all he had to do was look pissed off and then sit behind him and turn the page.
Yeah, and then walk away. Yeah.
Exactly.
Real challenge. Just don't look at the camera, right?
Right, exactly. That's the entire thing. That's what I wouldn't be able to do. I'd be one of those people where, like, even though I'm not looking at it, you could tell that my eyes were wanting to look at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was the hardest thing with the video that we did. Like, just, you know, dude wandering around with a gigantic camera as we're playing the same song or pretending no actually playing of course we're actually playing
how did you sync it up song, yeah. Like,
yeah no definitely not like you know 30 or 40 times in this stinking hot warehouse and not being able to look at the guy as his camera's about a foot away from your head. That was the hard part, but
in rock and roll you can look at the camera. Come on, you can grab you yell at it.
I'm the drummer, I can't do that.
Sure you can.
I'm just wandering off in my own world. I'm not allowed to look at the camera. Well, clearly defined drama roles.
I guess. now, with the new album that's coming out, when can people be expecting that? I touched a sore spot.
Not soon.
Okay.
Before the end of the year, I would say.
Okay.
Fairly confidently.
Yeah.
Before the end of the year, but not... Things are quite embryonic at this stage, and we're in the very very lucky position that we don't have, you know, basically we can do things on our own time.
Yeah.
There's no I'd rather make something that's really good and takes, you know, 6 months longer to create rather than make something crap, because there's enough crap music in the world, and I'd rather not add to that pile. I sound like George R. R. Martin at this point, don't I? It'll be done when it's done. But,
good things come to those who wait. I mean, we got a bunch of things we could quote if you want.
Yeah. You gotta keep waiting. I don't know. Whatever. Screw you, fans. there's enough good music in the world. Go listen to that.
You see, I was going to go Tim Curry with it from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I see you shiver with anticipation. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. You're creating anticipation. You're creating need.
Yes. It's all a deliberate ploy.
Okay. I'll buy that. Okay. I see it. And then we also like to close out the show with usually a track by the band. And Doug has not left me a track that you guys may have agreed on. I don't know if you knew.
Let's go with Key to Nowhere, I think.
All right.
Either. Would be the one, track two off the EP. It's the one which, it's the best song on the EP, basically.
Okay. And did you want to say something about the song, or just you know, anything before we go into it?
It's if we were from what we were talking about earlier about, you know, trying to tie things in and make it cohesive. This is, I think, the closest we got on the EP to that idea of songwriting. You know, there's the ideas which happen at the start kind of tie back in at the end, and it's got this whole, there's a lot of common threads through there that come up in different ways, which I was quite proud of when we finished it. Also, it lets me get my little A Perfect Circle drum vibes going through the whole way, which is fantastic because I love those guys.
Nice. Okay. And then, so Lindsay, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It was great meeting you.
Thanks so much, Tom.
And this is Key to Nowhere by Carthasy.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And this has been another Music Manumit podcast at musicmanumit.com.